Well, this morning, if you can, please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. The title of this morning's message is Be Prepared and Believe. Every Christmas, it always seems to be that we're very busy. Right? But we need to take the time to prepare for the true celebration of Christmas. By far, this is the busiest time of the year for us in America. As if we weren't busy enough, we somehow fit into our schedule Christmas shopping, Christmas card writing, Christmas parties, right? What else? I mean, everything else in between, right? We go back to work and we keep going. Last night we were out and about and it was just absolutely crazy. It was busy. Time flies. And what we really miss is really thinking about and preparing for the reason why we are celebrating this time in the first place. We'll prepare for Christmas with decorations and presents, food, drinks, and music. And it's still sad to me when I think how we can make time to fill shopping centers and fill their pockets every year. And churches around the nation are not filled with the presence of you. And the one who is robbed is actually the Lord, because we deny Him the treasures in heaven. And I say that because it's speaking the truth. I'm not saying that to come down on you. Trust me. And for those of you who know me, you know that I say that in love. But you also know that I'm going to speak to you straight. Right? The Christmas season is, in modern America, filled with lights and glitter. Our natural inclination, our natural instinct, is to honor and delight our loved ones with gifts, right? Oftentimes, businesses take advantage of that and it puts us into a buying frenzy. Also, our desire for fellowship during this time. Sometimes, for a lot of people, it's the darkest time of the year. Often results in an array of parties with overeating and destructive drinking. But listen, I tell you this to kind of, just let's wake up, right? We're the church, let's wake up. So listen to what I'm about to say. Because it's through this busy time of running around, I pray that you remember that the Lord is your priority. And I hope that you are able to see that there really is a profound reason for true joy that lasts beyond December 25th. Through Scripture, listening to God in our own experiences, because He speaks to you through your own experiences, and prayer, let us rediscover the real basis for the celebration. We need to take time to prepare for Christmas. It's a special celebration, and it should get our undivided attention. The object of our celebration should be Jesus Christ, the gift unwrapped. And today I want to take you through the first portion of Luke chapter 1 for the purpose of preparation for the celebration of our Savior's birth. The Word tells us to be still and know that He is God. When was the last time that you were still before the Lord? I pray that you allow Him to calm your heart. For you to truly experience His presence, to allow Him to speak to you, not just to you. Give Him a list of what you would like. But let Him speak into you. Because I believe that if we fail to prepare for Christmas by spending time with the Lord and being still before Him, that we will miss the true joy of the day and find ourselves breathing a sigh of relief on December 26th. Instead of thanking God for His indescribable gift and the joy of the season. I'm going to talk about three things this morning that I ask you to consider and prepare for Christmas. We have 7 days. Number one, be in a place where God can speak to you. Maintain a relationship with God. Number two, believe the impossible is possible with God. The wonder of Jesus' birth. Number three, believe God will complete what he started. Jesus came to fulfill prophecy. And in so doing, you'll be watchful while in the Lord's service. You'll be patient, waiting while the Lord does his work, and you'll be alert for the Lord's will to be fulfilled in your life. And more importantly, you'll be watching, waiting, and alert for the coming of the Lord. So let's start by reading the first portion of chapter 1 of Luke. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. And so this letter is written to Theophilus by Luke, which, by the way, is a physician. And as Theophilus had already heard these words, you've heard the story of Christmas over and over, right? Theophilus had heard about Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah, that he had come to this earth and done the things that he did, went to the cross, was buried on the third day, was raised from the dead, appeared to many, and then he ascended, and now sits at the right hand of the Father. So Luke says, let me give you a detailed account of what you've already heard, what you've already been taught, that you may have more certainty. And I pray that as you get the Word of God spoken to you, taught to you, that you go deeper in your faith, you are well-rooted, and you have more certainty in the Word of God. So he goes on to tell him, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord, but they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Just as you wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and Gabriel visited Elizabeth and Mary, so you too are hearing the very word of God. Sometimes we take this lightly. After a while, we kind of gloss over it, like as if it's just some book of instruction. No, it's the living word of God. He wants to draw our attention unto him. And he wants us to listen closely. So the whole point this morning is that I hope to point you in the direction of being prepared for Christmas this year. So point number one, rightly be in the right place at the right time all the time. Stick in front of me rightly. Rightly be in the right place at the right time all the time. I'll explain to you what I mean by that. We were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Well, that wasn't necessarily true for the workers at Edison, right? They were in the right place, just the wrong guy came in. The people who were in that salon getting their hair done, they weren't anywhere they weren't supposed to be, right? But that's not the point. Because I think what happens is we try and justify our own actions by giving examples like that. Follow me for a second. Sometimes we can be doing all the wrong things and it seems like good things happen to us. How is it as a Christian, you look at people like that and you're like, how can that be? Right? While others were just at work, at a beauty salon, in fact, driving down the street, some wild madman could sit in the middle of the street and start shooting at cars. Listen, we live in a fallen world. and it rains on the just as well as on the unjust. We experience those things. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. So don't try and justify you being in the wrong place at the wrong time, because bad things happen to everyone anyway. You understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense? If not, think about it for a while. We can talk about it afterwards. But sometimes we try and do that. We try and justify. Zechariah and Elizabeth were mentioned here as people that were in the right place at the right time. In fact, it says here, Luke writes, they were walking blamelessly. They were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But Elizabeth was barren. Listen, her womb was set aside, was holy, right? Set aside for a specific purpose, to carry John the Baptist, the one who would prepare the way for our Lord. That was it. But they were in the right place. They were leading a holy and righteous life. That's the first thing we need to understand. In Young Adults on Thursday, we talked about what it means to be holy and righteous, right? To be set apart for the Lord, unto the Lord. Righteous, to live a morally right life according to the Word of God. Big words, and sometimes we miss the meaning of those words. But a people who are separated unto the Lord, are you separated unto the Lord? A people who are righteous, we're called to be righteous. Why? Because we belong to a righteous God. Right? So are we living morally right according, not to our philosophy, but to the very Word of God? Remember, don't try and justify. We try and explain things. Our own reasoning. But all we have to do is go to the Word of God and ask ourselves, is my life lining up with God's Word? So sanctification, another big word, right? Because we know that obedience to God's Word, His standard, leads to righteousness, and exercise righteousness leads to sanctification. That's leading a life which is acceptable before the Lord, pleasing to Him, blessing Him. Alan Redpath says that salvation is the miracle of a moment, but sanctification is the work of a lifetime. Right? Okay, so sanctification is also the miracle of a moment, but then we work that sanctification out in our own lives, in that it's a continual process until the day we die. Because here's the thing. As Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my, what? My suggestions, right?
Commands.
No, what does he say? If you love me, you'll obey my commandments, right? They're not suggestions. They're not, hey, you know what? I was just thinking about this the other day. And I thought it would be good. It sounds good. Logical, right? No. He says, these are my commandments. And if you truly love me, then you'll obey my commandments. Because in the end, we want to be found rightly living for Him, His Lord, to be good witnesses, to testify of His love. And hear those words, well done, good witness. That's all we should live for. That kind of an ending. Finish strong. If you've watched any boxing on TV, you'll hear that a specific match is sanctioned, right? By the Nevada Boxing Association, or California, or whoever is supporting, has endorsed that specific boxing match. What they're saying is that official boxing match meets their standards of boxing. We as Christians want to be sanctioned by God the Father. We want to meet His standards of living. Not our own. Not our own. Each man is right in his own mind, right? But in the end, what happened? Who can finish that? There's destruction. You deceive yourself. That's the whole point. So we need to be prepared. Why? or how, or why is for the Lord, but how about just living righteously? Do you know the Word of God? Do you pick it up on a daily basis? Are you preparing your heart, being molded and shaped into the image of Jesus Christ? Remember what God said when they were at the Jordan, and John the Baptist was there, and Jesus, and he was about to be baptized. What did you hear from heaven? This voice. This is my son in whom I am well pleased, right? Well pleased. I said last week, we haven't had anything. That means that each and every one of you know how to wait for you. It's not about performance. It's about belonging to God, period. You're a son and a daughter of the Most High. And yet the rest of our lives, can you imagine if our sons or daughters would say, Dad, Mom, I just want to come to you, and I'm so thankful for all that you sacrificed for us, for me, and I want to please you. And I just, what do you want me to do to bring you happiness? Wow, that would be a day, right? Yes, I'm doing that. So. That was for them. But that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to look at the Word of God and go, I have liberty in the Lord. Because I want to live my life to please you, Father. Is there anything you want me to do away with? Have you ever asked that? Anything you want me to cut out of my life? Oh my God, Dad, I love that. Are you serious? You want me to do away with that? Yes. Because you're holding that higher. It's getting in the way. You're cutting me off because of that thing. Is there anything you want me to improve it? I want to change a little bit to where you receive more glory. To work hard in that area? Yeah, right. You're asking, right? You want the answer. Our life should be given to the Lord. That should be our whole purpose for living. Because it's according to the Word of God. For Him and for His glory. You need to be pursuing being sanctioned by God, meeting His perfect standards. As much as depends on us. Serving God. Zechariah was a priest in the temple of the Lord. He was serving where he was supposed to serve. So where are you supposed to serve? Many of you aren't called to full-time ministry. Right? But did you know that you are ministers of the Word of God? You have a place within the church. Did you know every single one of you has something to do right here at the refuge, if you call it your home. Every single one of you. We're called a body. But let's talk about the home. In 1 Timothy 4:8 it says, but if anyone does not provide for his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. In context, Paul is saying to Timothy, to warn the Christians, because this is a letter to Timothy for the Christians, against self-indulgence and neglect of your own family. I said self-indulgence to the neglect of your own family. You can justify anything. Remember that, as we read here, we're going to see that Zechariah, once he was done with his services at the temple, where did he go? He went to a local bar and had a drink. He went out with his friend. It was guy's night out. Right? Oh, it's tiring. Gosh, I worked in the temple for a long period of time, and I just hung out. Relaxed, took a little vacation. No, he went home. That's where he went. He went home to take care of his family. So you're worse than an unbeliever because you profess to follow Jesus Christ, and yet you do the opposite. You bring shame to the Church of God when you don't just serve in where you need to serve in. It's going to be behind. You need to serve there. Church, Ephesians 4:15 and 16 says, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him, who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So, we're actually tearing ourselves down if we don't take heed to what the Lord is calling us to do within the church. It's supposed to be here. If everyone does their part, then we're building the very church we're a part of up. We're building it up. Oh, I didn't want to do that, Pastor. Did I just teach? I don't know. Can you just clean? How about paying attention to the youth and what is going to take place within the church? Are you willing to stand up and step in and do those things and lend a helping hand? Listen, we're all called to be part of the church that we belong to. I'm not saying that because I want everyone in here being busy within this building. But let me tell you this. There's flyers out. You don't need, I've already blessed you guys. You have my blessing. If you'd like to gather two or three of you together and grab some of those flyers and go out into the community or within your neighborhood or within your school or within your workplace and hand those out and just invite people, you don't need to call me, you don't need to email me, you don't need to text me, you don't need another blessing. You can catch my drift. You understand what I'm saying? But the whole motive behind it shouldn't be, right? Pastor, look, I did this and I did that. Go grab it, do this, do that, all behind the scenes. It doesn't matter who receives the praise, when in the end God is glorified and His church is being built up. Amen? So how can you serve? How about in the world? I talked about going out and passing out some flyers. Just go, just do it. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Again, a suggestion, right? No, it's the Great Commission. We are to do it as a commandment. We are to go therefore and make disciples of all nations. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Right? Matthew 28:19. By the way, the committee consists of all the people that you have an opportunity to introduce. It's everyone around you. You just got a place in front of you. That's your responsibility, not anyone else's. So serve in the church. Fellowship. And love. Maybe properly join together and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lastly, we see here that they were praying. We know Zechariah was a man of prayer. Why? Because when the angel Gabriel came, he said, hey, don't be afraid. Your prayers have been heard. Really? Okay, so obviously, by the text that we just read, we're about to read, right? Did we read that? We didn't read it, right? I'm explaining it before I'm going to read it. Zechariah was visited by Gabriel the angel. And he just said, listen, don't be afraid. Do not fear. Your prayers have been heard. So he was a man of prayer. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. James 5:16. You know what happened in that Elizabeth in old age was with child. This was John the Baptist, the one that was to prepare the way of the Lord, to prepare the Lord's people for the Savior coming. Again, God didn't have to do this, but He did. But He was a man of prayer. And if the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, then the opposite is true, right? Listen to this, because this is scary. The ineffective, inconsistent prayer of a disobedient and evil man avails nothing. Let me read that to you again. The ineffective, inconsistent prayer of a disobedient and evil man avails nothing. We can read the truth, right? We can read the word, and then I think of, well, what's the opposite of that? Am I consistent in my prayer? Remember I told you, be prepared. Be prepared. Live a holy and righteous life, separated unto the Lord, for His pleasure, for His glory, right? Okay, we know that Zechariah was such a man. We know that Elizabeth was such a woman. Okay, so if that's the case, that leaves you, and that's all part of that is this prayer life. Why? Because you believe that God can do miracles through prayers. He answers those prayers. But if you're not praying, it's evidence that you truly don't believe that there's any use of praying whatsoever. Otherwise, you'd be on your knees more often. He was also surrounded by a praying people. When the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, I believe by God." They were also outside of the temple, as Zechariah was burning incense in the temple. Many people praying. Are those people not only pray for our own needs and all that? That's fine. I mean, the Lord wants to provide for us. But are we praying for each other? Are we praying for God's will to be done in our community? Are we praying for other churches? So again, rightly be in the right place at the right time, all the time. How? Again, by leading a righteous and holy life, serving God and praying. So let's read. Verse 8 says, "Now while he was serving as priest before God," this is all what we were talking about, "when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared.'" And then verse 18, "And Zechariah said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years.' And the angel answered him, 'I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time.' And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remaining mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, 'Bless the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on you to take away my reproach among the people.'" The next thing I want to point out is to believe that the impossible is possible with God. And since I started out by explaining and reading the text, I'm going to do that with this section as well. Completely unscripted. In Luke 18:27, Jesus said, "What is possible with man is possible. What is impossible with man is possible." Mary believed this. Elizabeth believed this. Zechariah ended up believing this. Someone like Thomas, Doubting Thomas, remember? And he truly resurrected from the dead, I believe when I see it. How many people are like that? The other day I was watching a debate between John Lennox and Richard Dawkins. The question to answer was, has science buried God? Right? Awesome debate between two brains. And it was at Oxford, and it was in their Museum of Natural History. And the thing is no matter what, John Lennox believes that for that which is unexplained, there is an explanation. For Richard Dawkins, whatever science has not come to a conclusion on, says we just leave it as inconclusive. And I'm sure science will provide the answer at some point. That's assuming, let's say, for instance, there's this timeline. Y'all remember the timeline with the little marks, right? Well, science says there was a beginning sometime at some point, right? And but we don't know if there's going to be an end at all, right? Okay, so there's this timeline. So no matter what, if you're always looking for the origin of something and how it progressed, that's assuming that there's nothing outside of that timeline. In other words, if you were to take a look at a piece of paper, there was no line, there were no dates whatsoever, and you had someone come, and now all of a sudden, right, this line lives outside of this line. Writes this line, little lines, and he puts it all together. That is a miracle line, because it doesn't meet our laws of physics. It's outside of, so physics, who invented physics? If you say there's aliens, that we all came from aliens, well, where did aliens come from? Right? Do you believe in miracles? I definitely do. Those are things that are inexplicable. That John Lennox, the great mind, says, listen, what is inexplicable, I place God in there and say, you know what, God, you're the one that did that. If we can explain something, that's not a miracle. If it's outside of what our natural laws are, that's a miracle. The resurrection of the dead, that's a miracle. Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe the impossible is possible with God? Again, that should drive you to your knees. Mary asked how this would take place, seeing she was she'd never been with a child, with a man, right? She was a virgin. She was betrothed. She was engaged to Joseph. The marriage response, once the angel explained how this was going to take place and said, for nothing will be impossible with God, was, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. I don't see a lengthy discussion as to what exactly the angel meant by the Holy Spirit would come upon her and the power of the Most High would overshadow her. She didn't say, well, you know what, I don't quite understand that. Well, it's beyond her understanding. She understood that it was just beyond my understanding. Let God be God, right? She simply said, I'm the servant of the Lord that will be according to you. Sometimes we need to just let the Lord. It's inexplicable. I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. I will have faith and I will trust you. As Mary responded, and I pray that that's how you respond. God parted the Red Sea. He parted the Red Sea. He made the Jordan stand still. Yes, you do. Science cannot explain that. They can try. There's a lot of theory. It's important. The miracle of God clothing himself in humanity is amazing. It's a miracle. And that's what we celebrate in Jesus. The world finds it easier to celebrate a little fat man with a red jacket, white beard, white hair. why it is a fairy tale. And it's something that can be enjoyed and kind of have fun with during the time and then put away and go about your business. But listen, the impossible is possible with God. According to Scripture, God is true. So be prepared by rightly being in the right place at the right time and believing the impossible is possible with God. We're going to read what we just went over. Starting verse 26. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God, and behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Lastly, believe God will complete what he started. And we'll see that in verses 39 through 45. God is faithful. He's trustworthy. We need to believe that personally. Philippians 1:6 says, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. First of all, we need to understand that with God, that God calls the work that he's given for you to do a good work. It's not a bad work. It's a good work. By the way, he didn't say that it was an easy work, a simple work, that wouldn't come without testing, that he would mold you and prune you and shape you and allow things to take place in your life, that you would be complete, mature in Jesus Christ. He didn't say that he would allow you to go through certain situations so that the same way you were comforted by him, you would comfort others. God has for you nonetheless as a good work. It's good. It is. What Abby and Crystal went through the other day in their accident, they're here by the grace of God. But I'm sure they have grace of God. I can look back on my life. I think things have gone off in my life. And I say, praise God. That if someone else goes is going through a similar situation, I can go to you and tell you, look. God brought me through. The Lord brought me through this. Stay faithful to Him. Stay faithful. We give encouragement by encouraging others the same way we were encouraged as we went through these difficult situations. But nonetheless, it's a good work. What God has begun in you is a good work. It's to His glory. We just need to simply seek the Lord. Seek God's Word and you'll know who you need to be in Christ and those things that are found in a distinguished Christian. That's what you should be your point. The point is that God will complete this work and you believe that and allow Him to. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, he who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Believe he will. He desires to and he can. And he will. Just be that instrument that's in his hands. The first point that I have made was that we were to be rightly be in the right place at the right time all the time. Right? Number two, believe the impossible is possible with God. And lastly, is belief that God will finish that which He started in you. You see, God, through the prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years before, said, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father." So the question is he your wonderful counselor? He's just counseled you this morning. He's real. It's all his word. Thank you for preparing this Christmas. Don't let it be like any other Christmas. This Christmas, it's Sunday, a week from today. If you have kids, prepare them. Listen, we're going to go to church. We're going to worship the Lord. He is our gift. And then we're going to come home and do the things that we enjoy doing as a family. And let me tell you this. If you're bothered by that, if it gets in your way this Christmas, then get a checkup. Is really what is reality. I'm not talking about religion. Just show up. It's not like you're on a tape scroll. Jim, were you there? No, it's not religion. It's about a relationship. Do you desire to be here? Do you desire to be with God's people? Do you desire to hear His word and really celebrate? This is a celebration. In a moment, we're going to end with worship. It's a celebration. The shepherds received word that Jesus was born, and they said, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Luke 2:15. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Do you believe? I pray that you are. I pray that you are. And you truly believe that the impossible is possible. That you are ready by being in fellowship, rightly living according to God's word. And that you have truly surrendered your life to the Lord. I know I tell you, I don't want to take it for granted that each and every person here has truly surrendered their lives to Christ. I never want to take that for granted. I never want to assume that. Some of you could be walking very religiously and yet have not surrendered your hearts to the Lord. That's a dangerous place to be. Why? Because we don't know when our last breath here on earth is. We really don't. So right now, I mean, we partook of communion as a family. We came together, we broke bread, and we had communion in the remembering and sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We do that as Christians. That should be a witness to everyone else. This morning, as the worship team comes back up, I want to invite, without music, just anyone who has not surrendered their life to Jesus Christ to know this. Sin separates you from the Father. That's imperfection cannot live in perfection. Okay? Here's the answer though. If we die in sin, the place that's been reserved for Satan and his angels is a place where we're sin. Forever being separated from God the Father. But the good news is God sent his only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right? In other words, what you do is you surrender your life. You agree with God. I am a sinner. I repent. I turn away from my sins. It's a big word for just saying, I turn away from my sins. And I ask you for forgiveness. Come into my life, Jesus. Be my Lord. Not just my Savior, be my Lord. And write my name in the book of life. So you need to do. That's all. You could do that right where you are.